Well, you remember back in the Exodus where Moses went up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments for the people. They needed instruction. In fact, when he received the Ten Commandments, written by Yahweh's own hand, his own finger, even the stones themselves were taken out of the mountain by Yahweh. And he gave them to Moses to be able to go down to the people and give them. Moses got angry because he saw the people sinning. Aaron had forged an idol, and regrettably the people, having been in Egypt, saw the different idols, and they related this idol to Yahweh. They even called it Yahweh. So their sin was great because Yahweh doesn't accept false worship. And when you look through the scriptures, false worship is really an abomination to Yahweh. But in this, Yahweh did not destroy Moses because he was really supposed to go down and give the Ten Commandments to the people. But he broke the stones that the Ten Commandments were on. He ended up going back to Yahweh. This time, Yahweh had Moses carve out or chisel out the stones himself. Did Yahweh have mercy on him? Yeah. But he made him work a little bit this time. Yahweh wrote with his finger on the stones the Ten Commandments. And Moses went back down and gave them to the people. We read of this in Exodus 34, and starting in verse 4. Actually, before Moses went down, Yahweh descended in the cloud and stood there with him, with Moses, and he called upon the name of Yahweh. Then Yahweh passed in front of him and proclaimed, "Yahweh, Yahweh, El, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations." Visiting the children's children for what their fathers had done? That almost seems not quite reasonable. But Exodus 20 and verse 5 says, visiting the iniquity of the father of the children on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. This is speaking about the second commandment. And what we talked about earlier about the false worship, that Yahweh hates that. He actually calls those that worship falsely those that are those that are hating Yahweh. They are described as hating Yahweh. The New Living Translation actually says they reject him. So those in false worship are not only hating, but I think in essence rejecting Yahweh. But in verse 6 it says, I suppose we could say on the other side of the coin, but Yahweh, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So we find trouble for the children's children unless they repent, basically. And this fits in well with the rest of Scripture. We find that we're judged individually, not so much collectively. But we find those in false worship, if they come out of it and start worshiping Yahweh, start doing what Yahweh wants, then they can receive forgiveness. They can receive His mercies. They can receive His loving kindness. But if they refuse and they stay in their false worship, if they stay in a wrong attitude and in rejection of Yahweh, then the punishment remains. The punishment remains on them and their children's children. Because typically what happens is we raise our children in the way we believe that they should go. Pagan religions, pagan people, heathens, will raise their children in the way they think they should go. And we find in Scripture that as we are to raise a child in the way he should go, of course, that's Yahweh's way, then when he is older, he won't depart from it. So you find a number of people out there that are caught up in this curse, if you would, because of the iniquity of their fathers. But we find Yahweh's full of mercy within his character there in verse 6, when it says, Yahweh passed in front of him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh El, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. That's his basic makeup of his character. Yahweh is telling us who he is. He is merciful, and he will bless those that love him. That is in line with everything else we find in Scripture. Let's go over to Psalms 86, starting in verse 5. King David speaking, "For you, Yahweh, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you." Just like what we were talking about. Verse 6, "Give ear, O Yahweh, to my prayer and give heed to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I shall call upon you, for you will answer me. You, O Yahweh, are an Elohim, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth." Skipping down to verse 15, it says, "You, O Yahweh, are an Elohim, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth." We find, you know, Yahweh's own example declares this. If we go over to James, James chapter 5 and verse 11, James is relating some history for us, and we know some of the examples by heart. The example of Job, for example. James 5 and verse 11, "We count those blessed who endured. You have heard the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of Yahweh's dealings, that Yahweh is full of compassion and is merciful." Well, what is the warning to those who just keep the law in part? In thinking about what we're doing, we're striving to do Yahweh's will. But what if we're just, you know, paying attention to, like, the letter of the law, so to speak, this thou shalt not do and this you shall do, these type of things, that can clearly be seen. In Matthew 23 and verse 23, it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." Now, the scribes and Pharisees kept the law that they decided to keep. And what Yahshua is doing here is he's going to point out that they're not keeping the whole law. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. But these are things you should have done without neglecting the others." The New International Version, in verse 23, and it says, "Woe to you, teachers of law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law." So there's a little difference there. But the emphasis is still on justice, mercy, and faithfulness. "You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." So it's the whole package that we need to be concerned about. But why did Yahshua mention justice, mercy, faithfulness? He mentioned these three things specifically. When we go back into the law, we can find these. In Deuteronomy 16, in verse 19, we find justice. And I wanted to go into Deuteronomy because this is a constitution for the coming kingdom. We're going to find these laws being implemented and enforced in the coming kingdom. And Yahweh himself will have justice, mercy, and there will be faithfulness in the kingdom. But Deuteronomy 16 and verse 19, "You shall not distort justice. You shall not be partial. You shall not take a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. Now we know that the seventh day is to be kept, so we're here on the seventh day. But if we go from this day and we go and take bribes or pervert justice and live our lives worldly, what good is it to keep the Sabbath? It's only part of the picture. There's other matters concerning the law. And these are some of them. Deuteronomy 22, going a little bit more into the book. Chapter 22, starting in verse 1. You shall not see your countryman's ox, or your neighbor's ox, for example, or a sheep straying away and pay no attention to them. You shall certainly bring them back to your countrymen. If your countryman is not near you, or if you do not know him, then you shall bring it home to your house, and it shall remain with you until your countryman looks for it. And you shall restore it to him. Thus you shall do with his donkey, and you shall do the same with his garment. And you shall do likewise with anything lost by your countrymen, which he has lost and you have found. You are not allowed to neglect them. Interesting. You know, a lot of times today, people will find a wallet or maybe a ring. They'll take the money out, throw the wallet away. They'll take the ring and keep it or go sell it. They'll take the money from that. It's a rare thing when you find people actually putting an ad in the paper saying, hey, I found this ring. I know it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to someone. Someone lost it. Or the person contacts the person who finds the wallet contacts the person who's on the ID in the wallet. Sometimes you get it halfway. I remember my dad telling me he had lost his wallet one time, and the individual that found it returned it, but he took the money out of it. He just mailed the wallet. So that's how some people are. But we're called to be better than that. We're called to do the right thing. And I think as we make decisions throughout the day, we find examples where we can be a good neighbor. We can be like the Good Samaritan. And there are examples like this in the Bible given for our admonition. That we're to have mercy on others, even if we don't know them. Backing up, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let's take a look at faithfulness. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. Of course, this is where the Ten Commandments are listed, one area. In Deuteronomy 5, 29, after listing the commandments, the people said, we will do what you have said. And Yahweh says, oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their sons forever. Being faithful is not being faithful just part-time. Being faithful is being faithful. If we know there's something to do that needs to be done and it's the right thing to do, we should do that. We're being faithful in doing that. And we know that the commandments of Yahweh are true and good and right, and we should be keeping them. But we don't just want to keep them part-time. We don't want to pick and choose and say, well, I'll do these, but not this over here. There's a lot of people that will come to the Sabbath, but they won't come to the feast. They just won't. We don't know why, other than they're picking and choosing, because we're to keep the whole and not just part. But why were these things pointed out to the Pharisees? Did Joshua know something about the Pharisees, about the teachers of that time? We can go over to Matthew chapter 23 and find these. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 3, speaking of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, Joshua said, they tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. They made their own rules and lived by them, and they didn't extend out any help or mercy, and they didn't provide any justice. Skipping down to verse 28, he told the same people, these Pharisees, "So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You don't keep the whole law. You make up your own things. You're hypocrites." Skipping down to verse 33. Yahshua told them, "You serpents, you brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of Gehenna?" That place where people, describing the lake of fire, where people will be thrown in and destroyed. Gehenna was a place where refuge was thrown in at that time. So everyone knew. The Pharisees certainly knew what he was talking about. The other people that heard this did as well. So does Scripture teach us to have mercy? Let's go over to Jude, chapter 1. I think we are to have a likeness within us that is of Yahweh. We're to have the same type of merciful attitude that Yahweh has and that we find in His Son. Here we find instruction, Jude 1, starting in verse 20. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of Elohim, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Master Yahshua, Messiah, to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire." What fire? Lake of fire. "And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by flesh." And we know that all the things of the flesh, drunkenness, carousing, these type of things, there are laws against those. But if you're living in the Spirit, you're going to be living the way of Yahweh, because His Spirit will help guide you in His way. Of course, we need the Word. The Word is to be a light unto our path, so we study. In fact, we're given energy to be able to study. We're given an earnest of that Spirit so that we will search out these things and be led by the Spirit. And it's Yahweh's Spirit. Now, as a father loves a child, he'll sometimes have to discipline a child. Spankings come. These type of things happen. Yahweh is the same with us. And punishment is to lead one to repentance. Well, can mercy do the same? I think we find a bit of both. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. We know with Yahweh a day to Him is like 1,000 years. And so there are a number of things happening in the world that you think, well, Yahweh should be stepping in and correcting all of it. But He's allowing us to see that we can't manage ourselves, that men cannot manage ourselves and women, but mankind in general. And when you look at the news today and see the leaders of this country and others trying to do things, you just know that you know, a lot of the decisions that they're making are not right. But we're to pray for them. We're to seek Yahweh's will. Then Romans 2 and verse 4, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of Elohim leads you to repentance?" So mercy can lead to repentance. Joel 2 and verse 12 in Joel. Joel 2 verses 12 and 13. "Yet even now, declares Yahweh, return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping, mourning." In other words, verse 13, "rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to Yahweh your Elohim, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting from evil." But as we saw in the book of numbers today. I mean, that there's a certain amount of patience that Yahweh has, and He is long-suffering. But up to a point, there has to be some sort of punishment. There has to be something happening to turn people, to help them to get back to Yahweh. And I think the tribulation that's coming is going to be, we're going to understand that that's what that's coming for when we're seeing things take place. We'll know why it's happening. You don't have to turn to these scriptures. I just kind of want to blend them together. You can write them down, though. James 2 and verse 13. James 2 and verse 13. Luke 6, verse 36 through 37. That's Luke 6, 36 through 37. Matthew 5, verse 7. Let me just read these to you and listen to the mercy. And as we listen to the mercy, we need to be able to understand that we need to be able to extend that mercy. Otherwise, there's a problem. For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Basically a promise. So we have to be thinking about how we think, because that the thinking turns into actions. We need to be circumvent how we speak, how we think, and how it can hurt others, and how it can hurt us ultimately if we don't extend mercy, if we don't do things that are right in Yahweh's sight. And we're given, I think, some extra understanding in the letters that we find in the New Testament, here in James, Luke, and also Matthew. Now, Yahshua, being merciful, laid down His life for us. It was Yahweh's will. Yahweh is very merciful. We've already read that. But in John 20, if you want to turn there, we can take a look at this last scripture. If you think about the, we have the Noah's Ark over here. We have the tabernacle. Within the tabernacle, there's the Ark within the Holy of Holies. That Ark is there. If you can picture that Ark, it had two poles to be able to carry it. It had the cherubim on each side. They're looking down on the mercy seat. The mercy seat itself was solid gold. The other was overlaid gold. Wood. But in John chapter 20 and verse 11, verses 11 and 12, we find Mary looking inside the tomb. The other men had already left, not really, I don't think, understanding what had happened. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping, and so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. Verse 12, and she saw two angels. Well, they weren't there before, but she saw them. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, one on each end, in other words. Now, they weren't cherubim. They didn't have wings. Angels don't have wings. But I think we see kind of a parallel here. But it says one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Yahshua had been lying. Now, when you go into, I think it's Leviticus chapter 17, where it talks about atonement. Of course, we just had atonement. We afflicted ourselves. Now we can drink of some water and have mercy for our dry throat. But we find that blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat. Yahshua shed His blood. And I think it's just a good picture to have of the mercy that Yahweh extends to His people. Extends to those that would do His will, that will accept Him. Because as we've already said, when you go back and find false worship in Scripture, Yahweh doesn't like that. And He calls people that do that basically an abomination. They're hateful towards Him. They reject Him, basically. But you can't And looking at the Pharisees, you know you just can't do some of the law. You pick and choose, maybe make up some rules of your own, thinking you're worshiping Yahweh. It's still false worship. It's not correct worship. And Yahshua said, you know, how will you escape Gehenna? He was basically warning them, how are you going to escape? You're not doing the Father's will. You're doing your own will, is basically what he was telling them. But we're to have the things that they were supposed to have, and they were, of course, supposed to be teaching the Word. They were supposed to be doing the Word. And we're supposed to be doing that as well. But we're to have mercy, justice. We're to have faithfulness. It's needed, because when you look at Matthew 5, for example, it says that our righteousness will have to exceed that of the Pharisees. And when you think about all these things and look at what the Pharisees did, I think we realize that we need to be about our Father's business. And we need to extend that business out from just, you know, being here. You know, we're coming to the Sabbath, we're here, we're doing this, but what do we do when we go home? What do we do when we're at work? We need to extend all of this out into our lives and think about daily what we're doing. Because as we give mercy, as we provide justice, and we do and we can provide justice to others, as we're faithful to Yahweh's word, then he'll show us mercy. He'll give us justice, and he'll be faithful towards us, not allowing us to go into the lake of fire. And ultimately, that's what we don't want to go into. We're to stay on the straight and narrow road that leads into eternal life. And there's very few that find it. There's very, very few that are here. 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, counting Carrie in the back. So there's only 8 of us here. But Yahweh works with small numbers. Look at Noah's Ark. How many were on it? 8. What happened to the rest of the people? Destroyed. And again, you look at the numbers going even into a larger number, which seems small, but the 144,000 looks like a literal number. And you wonder, is Yahweh, let me rephrase it. Are the people that come into the kingdom, when they realize all that has happened, are they going to be happy about it? Are those that are raised up in the coming kingdom that will hear about what has happened, will they be able to understand Yahweh's love for them? When Satan is released, his influence is going to be poured out, evidently, allowed to affect the people that are there. And he's going to be able to gather up a number of people against Yahweh. I just find that mind-blowing, because the history will already have been there. People will know what has taken place. There'll be no question about it. But will they like what had taken place? The Israelites, as they were coming out of Egypt, they didn't like necessarily some of the things that they had to go through, but they went through them. And regrettably, because of all their complaining, they were punished. Well, for us to be able to get into the kingdom, we need to be circumvent about what we say and do and think. And we need to be aware that, you know, Yahweh does things for our own good. But he has mercy for us. We just can't slap him in the face with the message of mercy that he extends to us through his son. But I think people are slapping him in the face because they hear the message and they hear, you know, about how things are sometimes, and they think, well, you know, that I'm not interested in that, and they just walk away. They're slapping Yahweh in the face. Let's not do that. Let's extend mercy. Let's grab a hold of the mercy that's been extended to us. and enter into the coming kingdom. May Yahweh bless you.